Hare Krishna. I welcome you to the Bhagavad Gita class. Today is Saturday, 10th November 2012. So let us first start by chanting the Pranam Mantra, invocation mantras. So please chant with me. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatarine. So we are still in introduction, and last time we discussed about the religions, how there are so many similarities in the religion, what exactly we mean by dharma. So we understood that it is our constitutional position, essential characteristic. Today we will talk about the subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. What is there in Bhagavad Gita? So before that, I like to discuss about the process, and this process applies to everything in life, you know. Whenever you want to achieve something, there are three steps, you know, three stages. So if we try to understand anything using these three stages, then it becomes perfect. So, like, you know, if you remember, we discussed three types of acquiring knowledge, right? Pratyaksha Pramana, Anumana Pramana, and Shabda Pramana. And then we also saw the ascending and descending methods of learning. So today we'll discuss about the third angle to that is the process itself, you know. So the first in this, I'm not able to get my English version, but I hope you can manage with whatever we have here. Yeah. Okay. So the first stage in anything, any problem in life, anything you want to do, is anything you want to achieve, is first is sambandha, relationship. You know, we have to establish a relationship between us and the problem. or us and the unknown, or us and the known, you know, anything. We have to first define. For example, I say, I want to go to Bombay. So first question comes, what is the relationship? Why I want to go to Bombay? There has to be something, right? There has to be some relationship, sambandha. And then, so sambandha is very important. Unless we define that, simply saying I am going to Bombay is not going to help. You know, suppose you are walking on the road and somebody asks you, what's happening? Where are you going? And we say, I'm simply walking. Doesn't sound very intelligent, right? At least you will have to say that at least I am walking for, okay, getting some good health, jogging, walking, you know, for work, something. It has to be something. If you just say, oh, I'm just simply walking, the person may not like it. He may think that something is missing. So that is what is called as sambandha, relationship. Next comes abhideya. Abhideya. Abhideya is what? Is a process. The whole process, you know. Like for instance, I say, I want to get moksha, nirvana. That's the first my sambandha. I establish that sambandha. Now next comes, how do I do it? So this is called, this everything comes, all mechanics of that, this way or that way, you know, whatever is there, comes under abhideya. And so whatever process is there, you know, like for example, if I want to get liberated, then I must take a guru, serve him, learn from him, ask questions, follow his instructions. This all comes under abhideya. And prayojana is the ultimate result. What do I get? So I have established my relationship. I wanted to get liberated. Through following the process, I got there. Right? So if you now start thinking like this, then you will every time will say that Arjuna is asking question. Okay, he's trying to establish a relationship. He wants to know who is yogi. So this is a relationship, right? And then Krishna is telling the process, how to know who is it. So he says, you worship me, remember me, you know, all that will come. So that is called abhideya. And what is the prayojan? Yes, I have become that yogi. I have become that bhakta. I have become that some. Whatever. So if we look at a problem like in these three stages, then that is really easy. So my request is, try to understand Bhagavad Gita by this always, you know. Whenever you have problems, just think, go to these three stages. Don't mix up, you know. You cannot have prayojan before you have abhideya. You cannot achieve without efforts. Okay, so now I'll like to discuss a little more about problem solving. This, of course, I don't know whether I should do it or not, because this is not part of Bhagavad Gita, but it's based on Bhagavad Gita. Let me tell you in few steps. Same thing, you know, same things told in a little different way. Let's say there is a problem. First stage is to define the problem. You must define it completely. You know, you cannot say, I have a problem. So what's the problem? Define it completely. And then next step comes, analyze it. Analyze the problem. That means, how do you do it? By breaking it into the smallest component. Analyze, you know, just break it into all the problems, has to be broken into so many components, portions, so that nothing is left. Cover everything, whatever possibilities are there. Then third comes synthesis. Synthesis means now you start, take all the components that you have, the analysis that you did, and then choose the best option, you know, by doing the pros and cons. Some, every option will have some pro and some con. That means something good, something bad, something limitation, something like that. So you have to study, I mean, you have to do that, and then eliminate all the bad option things, you know. And then call synthesis. That means now you, using the data, whatever, you're using the information that you have, you arrive at this situation. And that's how the problem solving is done. So most important is the definition. People think it's very easy. Define, you know, you have to define it completely. Same way, sambandha, you have to define completely. Okay. So, okay. So now we'll go to the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita has five basic subjects. Five. Let's understand. And then we'll discuss a little about them. And maybe next few classes we'll take one by one the five subject matters. And then we'll start the Bhagavad Gita from chapter 1, like that. So I hope you can read this. So these are the five subject matters discussed in Bhagavad Gita. And that encompasses everything that is there. Ishvara, controller, God, you know. So Bhagavad Gita discusses who is God. We did that, you know, we discussed that already, even before we came to this. Ishvara. That is, you know, trying to completely understand who is God. So again, sambandha, who is God? What is our relationship? Then comes abhideya. How do we achieve that? And then you achieve it. Okay? So now, coming to, I mean, just first let me go through this, then I'm going to tell you something very interesting. Ishvara, controller. Then he creates this whole cosmos, universe. And in that there are two or three elements. Three elements come in that, you know. One is, these are all energies of the Lord. So one is Jiva. Jiva means living entity. You, me, and everybody around us, and the animals and the aquatics and the birds and the, you know, insects and everything, the microbes, everything is comes under Jiva. So this is also discussed. Who is this Jiva? Is there anything common? Is there anything different? How do you understand Jiva? Again, sambandha, then prayojana, then Krishna explains how, who you are, and then ultimately you understand, yes, I am this. Prakriti. Prakriti means nature, we say, you know, generally it's a very common thing to say, very loose thing to say. Oh, this is all nature. But what is that nature? What is the prakriti? Prakriti means actually material nature. Prakriti is not spiritual. Prakriti is not transcendental. Prakriti is material nature. That means all that is around us, you know, we are jivas, and everything around us is prakriti. The mountains and the rivers and the stars and, you know, everything comes under prakriti. The trees and the plants and, you know, this all comes under prakriti. So, is there any relationship? Do we have to understand prakriti? Of course, yes. Otherwise, you know, because the human beings are not understanding this properly, there's a problem. So Bhagavad Gita tells us, how do you deal with prakriti? And then comes kala, time. Time is a huge factor in our lives, right? So that's again controlled by the Lord Himself. Kala. That's why people say, oh, it's not in our control. Once it has gone, it doesn't come back. Time is money, time, everything. And time destroys, time heals. Time plays lots of roles in our life. So we have to understand that also, you know. Under the influence of time, we become young and old and, you know, etc. Okay. And finally, karma. Karma means all the activities that we do. So this is also discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Karma. What kind of karma are we supposed to do? By doing a particular karma, what happens to us? Where do we go from here? Where do we go in our next life? You know, all this comes under karma. And nobody can live without doing something, even for a moment. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you cannot remain inactive even for a moment. You may not be acting apparently, but some action is going on. Thought is also an action. Thinking is an often our action. Emotions are an action. Everything is action. So this is the fifth subject matter. Now, if you see, there's a link between all of these. So some acharyas describe that if we understand five types of relationships, we have five types of relationship. If you understand all the five, that means you understood everything. Okay, let's try to first enlist them and then try to understand. There are five types of relationship. If someone of you wants to take a note, please take a note, because it's very important and interesting. We never thought about that like that, you know, so far. So now I'm giving you a new thought process. The five relationships are a relationship between Ishvara and Jiva. That means we have some relationship with the Supreme that we need to understand. There is a relationship between Jiva and Jiva. You know, we interact with all other Jivas, right? All other living entities we interact with, the humans and the beasts and everybody. So that comes under Jiva and Jiva. The third one is between Jiva and Prakriti. See, we have a relationship between Jiva and Prakriti, right? We use this nature, all the resources given by nature. So we have a relationship. Then the fourth one is the one between Ishvara and Prakriti. Ishvara controls the Prakriti, controls the Jiva also. But there is a different relationship between Ishvara and Prakriti, that Ishvara and Jiva, right? Ishvara and Prakriti has their own relationship. That's how there are rains and, you know, this all under controls of the devatas, different various devatas, who are controlled by the Ishvara. So there is a connection. Nature always obeys the orders of the Lord. Is not bothered about human beings so much. And finally, there is a relationship between Prakriti and Prakriti. There is a relationship. I remember last time when I talked about this to my previous batch, a lot of them had this question. Okay, we can understand Ishvara and Jiva, Jiva and Jiva, Ishvara and Prakriti, but Jiva and Prakriti, but how about Prakriti and Prakriti? So I gave an example which I am again repeating. See, I am sitting in front of a table which is inert. There are so many things on the table. So there is a relationship between those things. You know, there is a relationship. If I move this, see, the table is right now in contact with something else. Then I move that, then something else in contact. So there is a relationship. The moment you are in touch with somebody, there is a relationship. The thing is left in the open, in the sun and the rain and all, there is a relationship. Right? If you leave it in the open, then different things happen. It becomes heated, cold, wet, etc., etc. So these are the five subject matters which we have to understand completely in order to get nirvana, moksha, or in order to know everything that is there to be known. Difficult proposition, right? We cannot, you know, they say that when you want to get educated, then the more you know, the less you know. Because your desire to know more increases. You know, everything you get to know, then you want to know more and more. So this is the principle which is there in Bhagavad Gita, you know. So Bhagavad Gita talks about nothing but these five things. And as I said, these five things say everything. There's nothing beyond this. There's nothing beyond this. So we should not be worried about anything. Did we leave something? No. Nothing beyond this. So every now and then you should remind yourself about these five matters, five subjects, and the relationship. And as I said in the beginning, that abhideya, sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. Very important. Because then what happens? It's all systematic. If you follow a system, like, I don't have it here, but there's one slide, you know, which I will show maybe next time. You know, we can prove that if you do the system, then there is a less effort. Anywhere in the world, you know, you see that they're talking so much about system, management system, working system. Right. So like that, system means order. System means to follow an order. So we will be dealing with these five subject matters, as I said. We already discussed Ishvara. Next week I am going to discuss about Jiva. And then we are going to discuss the Prakriti, Kala, Karma together, you know, so that everything is covered. And hopefully all these classes, whatever you people have been attending, I don't know how many of you have the recordings, how many of you have the notes. So before we start chapter by chapter, I am going to give you a small test, you know. Of course, all voluntary, those who want to answer can answer. So that will be just like a revision. And then when we go into the first chapter onwards, that time I am going to have a revision every other day. Moment we complete a chapter, we are going to have a revision. We are going to have an objective test sort of thing. So that, you know, I said in the beginning only, if you remember, that this is only for serious students. And that's why I can see so many joined, so many wanted to join, so many joined, and now only few are left. Doesn't matter. Even if one of you is there, I am happy. So number is not the thing, you know. So I'd like to stop here. And if you have any question, comment, we can take that up. Thank you very much. Thank you.